Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Meseches Erech and Daf Tes Zayin. We begin at Tes Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom back onto the Lashon Hara topic. Says the Gemara, question, what is Lashon Hara? How do you define evil speech? Let's say it's not outright negative information. Hey, Chidami, Lashon Bishon, give me an example of negative speech. Amar Rabba, Kigoin, for instance, the Amar Ikonura, there's fire be planya. In this house, you'll find fire. Rashi explains, the Mashma Oshiru, V'chol Sho'a Motzvi Ish, why do you have fire all the time? They didn't have, you know, pilot, you know, on the stove in those days. So why do you always have levashal tafshilim? There's always a fire burning. There's always cooking. There's always food going on. That's also lashon. Has a negative ring to it. I'm going to buy you. Why? Why is that negative? My covet. What's he doing wrong? A fellow wants to. Fellow's looking for fire, right? Comes over to ask you, and you show him. You direct him to the house with fire. My covet. Giluy mil sabam was just revealing facts, just relating information. It's not, there's nothing personal, nothing negative about it. Ella, rather, I'll give an example of a information which has a negative connotation to it. He has to say a bit more than what Ella the Mapet Belishna Bisha. Rather, we're speaking that he's expressing it with a bit of negativity, with a negative connotation. The Omar, so in response to the query, where one can find fire, he says, oh, of course, over there, where else? There's always good food there. Damar Eichem Yishtakach Nur Elohim Plani, where are you going to find fire? Elohim Plani, only there. Dika Bistra Vakavri, there's always meat and fish, there's always things cooking, and right? So that qualifies as Lashon Hara. So again, even though it's not outright negative, you know, speech, but there's a negative ring, a negative connotation to it, implying that they're always busy with food, right? Amarab. So according to Tosis, the next Gemara links back to the previous Gemara. So Rabbi says, look, these sort of arbitrary statements that can go either way really depend on the context. Kol Musa de Misamra Bapi Mara, something which you wouldn't hesitate. You wouldn't hesitate to say it in front of the person himself. That confirms that your intent is not negative. You wouldn't be embarrassed to say it in front of him. And therefore, lespa mishum lishna bisha. If you wouldn't hesitate to say it there, apparently your intent is not negative, you're just relating information and it's not an issue. Amarle, so Abai responded. Perhaps, you know, he didn't understand exactly what Rabbi was referring to. He says, so you mean Lashon Hara spoken in the presence of the actual party, spoken about, is not Lashon Hara? If anything, it's worse. Perhaps he understood that Rabbi was teaching that only behind one's back is an issue, but in his presence is not an issue. Amalei, Abai responded, just the opposite. If anything, it's worse off. It's a chutzpah to speak directly in front of the person himself. It's more demeaning, it's more shaming. Amalei, Koshkin, certainly it's worse than just behind his back. Chutzpah, Vilish Nebisha, aside from Lashon Hara, it's also chutzpah. Amalei says, no. Anok Rav Yisi's, really, I'm on Rav Yisi's track. The Rav Yisi used to say, Mi Yamai, my entire life, I was careful never to say something which can get me into trouble with people. I never said something which would prompt me to turn around. Oh, is a fellow here listening? One shot in Rashi. So basically, whatever I said, I would say in front of the person himself, because I never spoke evil. I never spoke negative. So the ability to say in front of the person is a confirmation that in fact there's no evil intent, and that's all I was talking about. I was talking about that kind of interpretable statement, We're not speaking about outright bad speech, of course. That's Lashon Hara, regardless of whether it's behind his back or in front of him. I'm speaking about something which can be taken either way. There's fire in that house. Well, it's just information, or is it something more than that? There's some negative ring. So that's the test. When you say it in front of the person, then you know you're good. Second Shan Rashi is, I would never retract. Should the owner, should the party ever confront me after saying it, I would never have to retract because I never said anything bad. Omar Rabba, furthermore, says Rabba, again linked to the previous concept, that just as if you would feel safe in front of the party himself, that's an indication of no evil intent. Omar Rabba, Bar Afunda, likewise, you say it in front of a crowd, knowing that ultimately it can get back to him. If you would say it, you wouldn't hesitate, then you know it's not Lashon Hara. Kumosa Dinas Amar Rabba, it's also something which is related in the presence of three. Three is a crowd. It's going to get back to him. That's a raya. That's a proof that you have no evil intent. Less ba mishum lishna bisha. And again, we're speaking about that type of statement, which can go either way. So if you say it in public, you know. That confirms they're not trying to badmouth him. My timer. Why in front of three? How does that help you? Because three is a crowd. One friend has another, it's going to end up circling back to the person. My time, a chavrach, your friend, chavrach, has his own friend who he's going to transfer it to. But chavrach, the chavrach, the friend of your friend, he himself, chavrach, has his own friend who he may share it with. Ultimately, it can get back to the party. If you're not concerned, obviously it's not Lashon Hara. Okay, also Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came, he told us an interesting Chiddush, that sometimes even saying something nice, something positive, can be problematic. It can cause the person hardship. What does the pasuk mean? Mevorech re'eyu b'kol gadol b'boker hashka, gets him in the morning, he blesses his friend, praises him. Okay, so you think it's commendable? No, just the opposite. Kolola techashev lo, it's considered like he cursed him. What does that mean? How could a bracha be considered a curse? Keep going, let me explain to you. The Mikolush Pisa, for instance, he was hosted by this person. Vatorchu Kamei Shaper, and they served him really nicely and graciously. Great meals, great bed, right? Well, the Marcha, next day, gets out and he praises him. And everybody comes running to him and overwhelms him. The Marcha, Nafat, Yosef Bishuk, the next day he goes out, sits in the market. Va'amar, he calls out, a blessing. He praises his host. Wow, what a great Machmas Erech. So, ostensibly, it's good, but ultimately, it's bad. V'amar says, Achmona, Hashem is Baruch. The Baruch Leplani should bless that person. Wow, what a gracious host. D'achi Torah Kamoi, look what he did. He served me. Look how he provided for me. So, on the one hand, he's praising him, expressing gratitude. But what's the result? V'sham and Inshi. And people out there, criminals, will hear about. V'azlan go v'anzlan, rob this person of his money, knowing that he's a wealthy man. Pshat number one, Arashish. Pshat number two, who'll be overwhelmed with guests that he never asked for. Tony Rab Dimi Achvad Rasaf. Loilam. Another variation of positivity that can turn into negativity. Loilam al Yisaparad. The person should be careful not to be overly gracious about a person. Loilam al Yisaparad. A person should not speak extensively about a person's qualities. Actually, adds the words Yoser Midai. Not too much, because when you speak too good about somebody, you're tempted to add a little caveat. Well, you know, he's not 100% great, you know. He's still got some things to work on, or the person listening might respond as such. Well, you think he's so great, blah, blah, right? So overdoing even compliments can lead to negativity. Because through overspeaking is good, it can generate negativity as well. In Kedamri, some had a different version of this discussion. It was a story. Rav Dimi, who was the brother Achvad Rav Safra, Cholash, so he wasn't well. Al Rav Safra, came in to visit him, Lishulubit, to see how he's feeling. Omar Lay, so his brother turned to Rav Safra and he says, Tasily, I get credit. The Kaimi Kol Mudam Rabban. I fulfilled, I kept all the, you know, the words of the Chachamim. Amarles, he says, this one too? Did you know about this one? Ha, Mimakaimis, did you keep the following as well? Not only can't you speak negatively, but even positively, too much, overdoing it is also not advised. Right, because he overly compliments him, but the gnusa could generate negativity. Did you keep this? Amarlisi says, Lo Shmili. Actually, it's a first. I never heard this before. Of course, I would have kept it. Yeah, Shmili, had I heard it, Kiyamta would have kept it. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Yonis. Al Shiva Dvarim Ligoyim Boim. Rashi brings this in Chumash, right? A nega can be generated by seven things. There are seven inappropriatenesses that can generate a nega. Al Lashon Hara. Al Shvichos Damim. Al Shvuas Shav. False oaths. Al Gili Arayas. Al Gasaruch Horiness. Al Gezel. Robbery. Al Tzoros Ayin. Being stingy with your belongings, not lending it out. Al Lashon Hara. Dechsiv. Okay, so it's seven. Where do we find Lashon Hara generates a nega? Dechsiv. We had this before. Yesterday's daf. Dechsiv. Malash Nimaseze Re'eu. Evil speech. Oisei Atzmis. Generates Atzmis, which is a term related to nega. Number two. Al Shvichos Damim. Murder can generate a nega. Dechsiv. Valdiachris base Yoav. So Yoav, as we know, killed. He killed Avner, and in his household, he held the Zava Metzora. So you see, murder leads to nega. Number three, Valshvas Shav. False oath. Sachsiv Vayoyimar Naaman Hoyel Kach Kikorim. So Naaman, who had leprosy, was healed by Elisha, who didn't want to accept payment, and his assistant Naaman went out. Naaman was the fellow who got who was healed, and Gehazi, who was the helper, went out and took the payment from Naaman, pretending that he was sent by Elisha. So he took it from Naaman, who first asked him to promise, take an oath that he was sent by Elisha to accept payment. Naaman told him, Hoyel, make a shvua, kach kikarim, and you'll take the payment. Uksiv, and he in fact swore falsely. And what happened? It generated nega. Uksiv tzaras Naaman titpok bach. Elisha cursed him, and the tzaras of Naaman gets transferred to you. So you see that it generated tzaras. Next, valgida arayis achsiv by paray by nag Hashem es paray negoim gedolim. We had negoim due to abducting sorry meinu. Well, gas is a ruach. Being haughty generates gavah. Dechsiv ayev chaskos say gavah libu ala hashkes ayimol vashav lekav. This was by Uziyoh. Rashi says, and what happened was he was bal gaiva, but tzaras zochav b'mitzrayim. He had the tzaras showed up on his forehead. Bal gozel, thievery. Dechsiv vatziv hakoyin vinos abayis. The kohen instructs the homeowner to clear out the house. The house with the nega has to be cleared out. What's the tit for tat? V'tana, we learned in the brayso. It's midah k'neged measure for measure. Hu kines momen shein shaloi. He accumulated wealth which wasn't really his, wasn't really deserving. It's, you know, all kinds of inappropriate dealings, dishonest dealings. So what's the einish? Yobi ha'koyin v'yifazim ha'mayna. Hashem sends the koyin to disperse his money, send it out of his house. Doesn't belong to him. So we see that gezel, dishonesty in business dealings, can generate tzaras. Val tzaras ayin. Okay, the last on the list is the fellow who is stingy, non-sharing. Techsiv as the pasuk by tzaras says, "Ubash loy habayis, loy habayis." What's that word loy accentuating? V'tano derishmoel, a fellow who keeps to himself, keeps his house, his household, and all his belongings to himself. Doesn't like to share with others. Mishem yuchad beis loy, his house is designated for him only, and that generates tzaras. Okay, so what do we learn? That the einish of lashon hara is tzaras. Eini, is that so? A tzaras is generated by lashon hara, and that is the kapara lashon hara. Eini, but Omar of Anani Bar Sos, he teaches us lo manis. We find a different atonement for lashon hara. You look in the Parshas Tesava, which discusses the Karbonos and Miluim, we find discussion of Bigdei Kehuna alongside the various offerings. What's the connection? What's the linkage? Lo emoth to teach us that just as Karbonos atone, likewise the priestly clothes, the Bigdei Kehuna, by their own right, have the ability to generate atonement for various sins. Lo emoth to teach us ma Karbonos, just like Karbonos al Machapren, af Bigdei Kehuna Machapren, each item has its own designation. Kosoines, the shirt of the kohen, mechaperes al shvichos damim, is mechaper for murder. The chesiv ha'itpulos ha'ketoines b'dam. We have the pasuk by the shvatim who dipped the kosoines in blood. Rashi says the remez is that tefillah, the dipping is the lashon of kapara, right? By a carbon, there's dipping in the blood. So the kapara of blood of shvichos damim will be generated by the ksainis of the yakai. Michasayim, the trousers, machaprim, they're machapal gila rayas, tachsibai, asil, hem, michasay, badlachas, is the cover up to atone for psar erva. What about the yakayin's cap and snefes, machaperas? It's machapal gasir ruach, on the haughtiness. Machaperas al gasir ruach, and those are haughty. Could Rabbi Chanina, look at its position, perched high up on the head, atoning for people who hold themselves high. The item which is situated up high will come and be mechaper, atone for highness and haughtiness. The avnet, the belt wrapped around the kohen, covered the it went over the heart area. Actually, it was pretty high up. Avnet mechaper is hadihur halev, covers for inappropriate feelings and thoughts. Ayechad yisei, because it's above the heart, which generates the improper feelings. What about the choshen? Mechaper ladinim. It covers and corrects the effect of improper judgments. The chesiv asisa choshen. The choshen is mishpat. Choshen mishpat covers for all types of inappropriateness relating to mishpat. What about the eifoid? That's mechaper lavidah zora. The chesiv ein eifoid usrafim. Rashi explains when there was no eifoid, there's trafim, there's the sin of the trafim of the Avodah Zarah, which is what the Eifed comes to atone for. And the Me'il, oh, this is what pertains to us, the Me'il with the clanging bells, that's Mechaper, Alashon Hara. What's the parallel? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, Yavodah Shebekoil, the Me'il, which generates that sound, will come along and be Mechaper, atone for other sounds, Mechaper, Al Ma'aseh HaKoil, i.e. negative discussions, negative speech. So we see that the tzitz covers for Lashon Hara. And earlier we said that the tzaras is what, you know, addresses Lashon Hara. That seems to be a contradiction. And finally we have the tzitz, the gold plate on the kohen gadol's head, on his forehead, mechaper al maaseh as a panim, that covers for brazenness. Ksevach vayal metzach aron, it says metzach over here by the tzitz. Ksevachim we have elsewhere related to brazenness. Okay, so that's the question. What addresses Lashon Hara? Tzaras or the Me'il? Says the Gemara, it depends. If there were consequences to Lashon Hara, did it generate some consequences? Did it actually harm people? Or was it just limited to the speech itself? Like Kashya. If his masim, if his activities, if his speech actually harmed a person and ruined his reputation, then, in fact, Rashi says, "Neskoit to al yodai," it created machlokes. It had a far-reaching effect, had a real effect. So then, the only way to atone for it is having tzaras, as we're going to see later. Because tzaras sends the person out of town, let him experience isolation, just as he generated machlokes, discord, and disharmony between two Jews. Oh, the le'yahanu masav, that tzitz can take care of lashon hara, which didn't have that far-reaching effect. Says the Gemara Yohanu Masav, oh, if it had actual negative consequences, Asunu Goyim Alei, he experiences a nega, which will atone for that. Idlo Yohanu Masav, but it did not have an actual effect, then Mil is going to be Mechab. Okay, so if it had consequence, Saras, otherwise a Mil. Really, says the Gemara, we find yet a third item which seems to address Lashon Hara. V'amar b'simon, amar shem alevi, shnei dvarim. There are two violations. We don't find for them a kapara amongst the karbanos, but davar achar, matzinulam kapara, we find kapara for them elsewhere. Shvichus damim, that's number one. Number two, v'lashon hara. So that's the shayla, what do you mean? We just had me'il, we had, and the Gemara explains, shvichus damim begla grufa, right, the calf that beheaded, that addresses his murder. And v'lashon hara, who addresses lashon hara? B'k'tiris, the incense. That's the antidote to lashon hara. Etanir v'chanina, as he explains, l'mad m'k'tiris v'chaperis. We know that k'tiris has the ability to atone, to chsiv. So Torah is machap. On what? Betana de Rishmoel. Al ma Torah machaperes. What does Torah address? Al lashon hara. Why specific lashon hara? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hashem explains. Yavoi dava shebachashai. The Torah, which is something discreet. Rashi explains because it's done inside the heichal with nobody around. So that's the fitting antidote to lashon hara, which likewise is done hiddenly, discreetly, in private. Vichav amasachashai. So we have a multiple contradiction here. First of all, earlier we said that the Ksenes takes care of Shvichos Damim. And by the way, Rashi explains that when we speak about the Chapara and Shvichos Damim and Gili Arayis, we're not speaking about, you know, atoning for the person himself. He has his own, you know, account. We're speaking about the effects, the communal effect of these activities. Rashi brings psukim that Gilei Arayis affect everybody, and likewise murder. So the collective responsibility aspect, so to speak, is atoned for by the ksainis on Shvichos Damim and the Mechnasayim on Gilei Arayis. As opposed to Lashon Hara, he says, we don't find that it has, you know, a far-reaching communal effect, aside from, you know, the person himself, the perpetrator himself was accountable for, you know, his evil speech. But in any case, we seem to have a double contradiction. Because firstly, we said that the Ksenis is Mechaper Shvichos Damim. Here we say it's the Egla Rufa. And number two, there we say it's the Me'il. And here we say it's the Keteris. If there was no, you know, consequence in terms of creating Machlekes, that has to go to, otherwise you have to go to Tzeras for that. But otherwise, if it had just minimal effect, then it's the Me'il. And here we say it's the Keteris. How does this work? We have a double contradiction. Kasha, Shvichos Damim, Shvichos Damim. We have a steer between that. We also have a kasha between Lashon Hara and Lashon Hara. Answers the Gemara. Once again, we have to differentiate. Shvichos Damim, Ashvichos Damim. Regarding that matter, like kasha, here's the answer. Depends on the circumstance. When the murderer is known to us, then we need the ksainis. Hodeloya de'aman katle. But here where it says that the Egla Rufa takes care of it, that's when we don't know. We have no idea who he was. And that's the purpose of the Egla Rufa, to atone for that. But if you know who he is, there's no point in Egla Rufa. And for that we need the ksainis. Ask the Gemara, you know the murderer? Kill him. There's no kapara short of just taking care of the person himself and giving him his fitting punishment. De'aman katle, if the murderer is known to us, Baraktolu must be condemned to death. Baraktolu, how does the Ksenis address that? Says the Gemara, unfortunately, we know who he is, but for technical reasons we can't pursue him. B'mezidvili Asherbe, we know he did it purposely, but he wasn't warned. So halachically, we're prevented from punishing him. And that's where the Ksenis comes into play. What about Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara? That too can be answered like this. Like Hashab, but Sinna, Lashon Hara was spoken in private. That parallels the Ktoiras, which too is a private activity. Ha befarhesya, as opposed to Lashon Hara, which was expressed openly and publicly. And for that we need the Me'il, which likewise has that clanging effect, that noisy effect. It's a Maisei Koil, and that's Mechaper in this variation of Lashon Hara. Okay, so bottom line regarding a kapara and lashon hara, we have three levels. Ahanu masav, if it generated machlekes, that's it. Tzaras only. But otherwise, it's just the dibur itself. If it's betzina, the k'teres, faresi the meal. Continues the Gemara. Boy minei Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav. He asked me Rabbi Chanina. Amar lo, some say it was Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav. Chasni, he was a son-in-law of the Rabbi Chanina. He asked his father, Rabbi Chanina. Amar lo, some say yet Rabbi Shimon Levi. He was the one that was asked. Manish Tana. Why do we find something unique by the Metzora who's sent out of town? Shamra Torah says about him, he's got to sit himself, isolated out of town, nobody around him. You know what? He can't even sit next to other Metzoraim, you know that? Bada Yeshiv, he sits on his own, because Lamachlam Yeshavi outside of town, he's stuck on his own. Why is that a fitting punishment for what he did? Yes, 100% says the Gemara, it's exactly measure for measure. Look what he did. He separated between families, between friends, through his evil speech. Who hivdil ben ish l'ishto? He separated between man and wife. Ben ish l're'eh, between man and his fellow Jew. L'fichach amar Torah says, Bodad yesh, let him sit on his own, in isolation, to experience what he did to others, and that will atone for him. Amar Abida ben Levi, man ish tanam et seira, sh'amar Torah yavish te tziparam tarasai. What's unique about the Metzorah? The Torah instructs him to bring two birds as part of his purification process. What's unique about birds which fit the crime? HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa masa petit. He was engaged in tweeting. Rashi says, petit is lashon koil. Hayitz b'chashai. Quiet, tweeting behind people's back. Levicha Amra Torah brings birds, do the same. Yavi Karban, Petit, he brings a carbon, does the same. Turn around, Lo Yisisna Zachicha B'Vavecha. You're not meant to harbor dislike and hatred towards your fellow Jew in your heart. Okay, so let's say that the Torah means don't even show it. Is that also included? What if I want to express it? I shouldn't? I shouldn't hit him for doing bad stuff? I shouldn't backhand hit him? I shouldn't curse him? So, is that what the pasuk means? Don't express dislike through all these expressions? Don't believe it? No. Those are problematic, perhaps, for by their own sake. But here the pasuk is not speaking specifically about that. Don't hide it. Don't harbor it. Tamalim b'vavech, the sinner should not be contained. Sinner should believe, because of Adabra. We're referring to contained sinner. In fact, the Rambam explains that, yeah, if a person errors against you, you should respond and confront him and say, look, you did such and such, why? Otherwise, you're guilty of, right, you might express it. And that's the essence of this pasuk. Of course, if you can forget and forget, and not let it bother you, great, but otherwise, don't hold it in, express it in an appropriate manner. In fact, the Gemara continues. There's a mitzvah, right? That leads into the mitzvah of Teichacha. You meant to allow a person to correct his ways, point out, constructive criticism to mend his ways. In fact, how do we know that if a person notices in his friend something inappropriate, he's meant to point it out. Shechayv lochicha, he's meant to try to correct him. Shenamo yichiach teichiach. Show him, clarify to him what he's doing and how he should do. He's doing it better. Let's say he did admonish him, he wasn't receptive. Should he try again? Yeah. How do we know he's meant to come back and try it again? It says, to teach us as many times as it takes him, call Malka. Perhaps he should actually insult him, have him change his colors in public and embarrass him. Tamalema, no. Be careful, do it sensitively. In a constructive, positive way. Don't be guilty of a sin. Don't embarrass him. So Techacha must be done in a sensitive, discreet way. Tanya. In fact, I'm wondering if anybody today will even be receptive to any sort of admonishing. Because the admonisher is just as guilty as the violator. I'm not sure if in today's generation we could have anybody who'd be willing to accept hechacha. You know why? Imagine a moral lawyer, a fellow comes over and criticizes you. Tol kesam. Kesam is a spindle. It's an expression. Look at that little thing that you're doing wrong. Bein enecha, take that spindle out between your eyes. Amalei says, you're telling me, you're lecturing me. Look what you have going on in your life. Tol kaira, you got a beam. You got worse things going on, bein enecha, from between your eyes. So basically, very difficult to have people be open to your criticism, unless you yourself are on a standard. In fact, Amar Bazar Nazario, it's the other way too. To me, honey, I'm not sure. I'm wondering if today, is anybody who knows how to give proper admonishment, a proper criticism that will actually yield proper results, other than just insulting and hurting the person? That's be done with, Rashi says, derech kavod, propping up the person, acknowledging his strong points, and motivating him to live up to those strong points. Right? Rather than putting him down and breaking him. So it takes talent to do that. And otherwise, don't bother, right? I will have the heaven and earth testify about me. In fact, many, many times, Akiva was taken to task by me. What happened? Shayisi Koyvel Olav, I would complain about him and his misdeeds. Lefnei Rabban Shimon. Rabbi Gamliel Barivi. Okay, in front of the great Rabbi Gamliel. And in fact, he wasn't resentful. He was open to it. In fact, it's one of the 48 preconditions to success in Torah. One of them is Oyei Besatei Chachas. He appreciates criticism. He wants to grow. He's looking to develop himself. He's receptive. He's gracious to criticism. V'choshke, in fact, he was such a person. The more I admonished him, the more he loved me and appreciated me. V'choshke sharsafti b'yava. It generated more. My criticism generated more love within him and appreciation for me and my efforts and my concerns for him. L'kayim ha'shenemar, fulfillment of the pasuk, which says exactly that. Al techachlitz. Don't bother criticizing a scoffer. He's just going to turn around and dislike you. Pendis nech, he might hate you because of it. Hoichech lachachem, if you admonish a wise person, v'yavecha, love you. He'll appreciate your efforts and concerns about him. Boimine Rav Yehuda ben Rav Shimon. One question, he says. You have a choice. You're faced with two options. Techacha l'shma. You can offer techacha l'shma l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven, to encourage somebody to improve himself without personal agenda. That's one option. Or vanavash l'lishma. Well, let's say you're not holding there and you're concerned about your relationship with that person. You don't want to, ruffle the feathers. So anava, you'll withhold. Now, withholding criticism expresses itself as though it's humility, but it's not really true humility. It's shlo l'shma. It's not really for the sake of humility. It's just to avoid conflict. So which one's better? Hai minay adifa. You have a choice, right? Can I go for it, l'shem shemayim, or hold back to avoid conflict? Now, the Farshim explained that we're speaking about interpersonal issues, because there you can just be meichel. Say, look, I'm foregoing my claims, my issues with him. It's not worthwhile, right? It's not worth the consequence. So which way is better? Adi, how many adif? Amar Leisi says the second way. Would you agree that anava, da anava l'shma adifa, true, sincere humility is the best midah? That reminds me, we learned elsewhere. Anava g'del mekulam, humility is the best of all. So even though in this case, it's not really through and through anava, it's anava with an agenda, right? So that's called shalay l'shma. It's not for its own sake, it's just a means to achieve. Nami adifa, after all, it is an expression, at least externally, expression of anava, that's still better. Because that's the way things work, that's the way we grow in life. We start with the externals, and then it seeps into the internals. Yasek Adam b'Torah uba mitzvah. Af b'shalag l'shma, a person should be involved in Torah mitzvah, even though he doesn't see himself as perfectly sincere. He has all kinds of interests and benefits and agendas. Still, keep at it. The experience itself, the beauty, the sweetness, that in itself will generate an eternal appetite. They'll really enjoy it. They'll do it for its own sake. Shematel shalag l'shma, but through shalag l'shma, will eventually rise to the level of Balashma here as well. Anava is Anava. Eventually, it becomes second nature, it becomes Lishma, even though in this case, it's not yet there. So you have a choice, go with the second choice. I'll give you an example of a situation where they faced both options. So these two were sitting, Yasvi can be the Shmo. Who was the Rebbe? Omer lechev Arav. So Chev Arav turned to Shmuel. He says, look, started complaining about Rav Huna. Chazimar, look, my teacher, to come at Tzairli. Look, Rav Huna is distressing me. He's annoying me. Okay, call it later. Tzulim at Tzairli. So Rav Huna committed himself not to be Mitzair him again. Okay. So he accepted the criticism and he backed off. Basa the Nafik, after Chibarav left the room, Amarle, so Shmuel turned to, so Rav Huna turned to Shmuel, the Rebbe says, I'm not just picking on him, there's something going on, I'm correcting his ways, I'm pointing out faults. Amarle, Hachi, Vachka, Avi, this isn't this, and this is what he would do, and that's why I'm criticizing him, I'm not just annoying him. Amarle, so Shmuel says, why are you telling that to me now? Why did you not acknowledge that earlier? Why don't you say it in front of him? Why'd you wait until he left? Amalei says, I don't want to embarrass him. Chasli, it's beyond me. Like Chas v'Shalom, the lichsev, to get embarrassed, Zari, the descendants of Rav. Chiba Rav, his father's a great man. I don't want to, Al Yodai through, Al Yodai through me. So I want to avoid any, I didn't want to risk, you know, embarrassing Rav's son. So that's why I avoided direct confrontation. So this is an example of something which appears like anava. On the one hand, he's being humble and sort of backing off, but he had he had an interest in avoiding the covet, the embarrassment, and but in any case, the Gemara says that's preferred. So what's the extremes of teichacha? Meaning, how far do you go? I mean, until a person actually gets violent with you? I mean, how far should you push the person and pressure him when you do teichacha? Rav amad akon, until he's about to hit you. Shmuel amad kol, until he curses you. Vashem rechon amad nazif, until he gets mad with you. Ketanoi, based on machlekes tanoim as well. Rav lezo amad akon, vashem amad klolo, v'nazo amad nazif. And they all bring a rife in the same story, where Yohanan was advocating for David HaMelech, and Shaul got mad at him. Amar Rav Maritza, v'shloshtem mikre chadosh, all based on the same pasuk. Shaul got mad at Yonason. But really tells him, but now Shaul Sachanis, he took his spear, is about to hit him. Oh, Lakoise to hit him. So from here we're gonna see how far a person should push into Ichach. I'm trying to get a person to correct his ways. Lamanda Madako, the one who says until he gets violent with you, look, you see that he pushed all the way until he's could get struck by him. So you see that you keep on going until that point. The one who says until he curses, right? He put him down. Was an expression of klal. He was putting him down. The opinion that it's until he gets mad. I got mad. So you see, that's the extreme limit. Says the Gemara, but all three did happen. So why are we picking one over the other? Madam Nazifa, the one who says that only until he gets mad and past that point you back off. Aksiv Ako, Klola says that he cursed him, he tried to hit him. Apparently you go further than just mad. Says the Gemara, that's not standard. That's an exceptional case. That was about David HaMelech, who Yehinesim was trying to protect and defend. Shani Hosn, Dagar Chavivusa, Yaseir, because of the extra endearment. David Beil Yehinesim, but David Yehinesim had the affection they had towards David, so he went the extra mile. Masan afshetvei, he was masan afish more. But typically, the standard procedure is only up until a certain point. Adeichan lo yishan adam b'achsani shaloi. Speaking of which, a fellow has an achsanya, a place where he stays regularly when he comes to visit, right? the person should stick to that host. He shouldn't switch. We're going to see later the reason for that is because if he switches over, people will start talking, what was wrong, the host is not a good host, or the guest, you can't get along with people, right? So you want to consistently go back to the same hotel, the same host. How bad is it going to be that you cannot, that you're allowed to leave? At what point are you free to go? Rav Amad Kol, you stay there until you see that he's going to turn violent and hit you. Okay, until that point, even though it's uncomfortable, but consistency overrides. Shmuel Amar, oh, not so bad. You don't have to wait that far. Until he's throwing out your suitcases. Once it gets to that point, don't go back there. Says the one about Kodidei. Now, if the host is striking the guest himself, Kulam Lepligi, all agree, he doesn't have to to stick around. Likewise, if Sholas Kel Lachirav, if he's actually throwing out your luggage, Kulam Lepligi, again, everybody agrees, you have no business doing that. The question is if he's striking the wife. Some say it means the wife of the host himself. So there's stuff going on there. Should you still, stick it out? So one should just says, look, he's not, not affecting the guest. The man of Kilemine, what difference does it make? So there's activity going on which is uncomfortable. Try to stick it out. The other sheet says, no, asle trude. Fact is, it's going to generate machloikis and very, very uncomfortable situation, and he doesn't have to stick around that extent. So, Rav, who says adako, even in this case, adako of the spouse, he also has no business there. And Shmuel says, no, it doesn't, none of your business, you should still try to stick it out. Now, what's so important? Why is it so critical to stick around and return to the same, lodging? Kokach lama. Dama Mars, we learned achsenoi, a guest who switches, hotels, paigem. It affects his reputation. Paigem, it affects the reputation of the host. Venifkam, it affects his reputation as well. Amar vidam arav. Menayin l'shlo yishan adam achsana shiloi. So in fact, where's the source in the Torah, that a person is not meant to switch hosts, meant to go back to the same lodging. Shnamo we found Avraham Avinu on his way back from Mitzrayim, he visited the same hotels. Shnamar l'makom shayishom al holi batchila, that's where his tent was, and that's where he went back to. Rabbi Zochanina Amam Yehacha, different pasuk, Masov, went back along his old route. Says the might be nice. What difference does it make if you learn from this pasuk of a holoi or the other pasuk of Masov? There is a difference. Achsnei dach kroy, a one time, lodging. The Masov means even a one time, occasional thing. Whereas a holoi indicates permanence. As opposed to if he was just there, a one time thing, you don't have to necessarily go back. Amar Bechna, speaking of consistency, minay shli shan adam mum nosai. A person should stick to his family trait, family expertise. Right? If he has a trade, which is a family business, stick to it. Keep the customers, keep the reputation. You can write on your thing, since, 1867. Apparently that's your niche, that's your family's niche. You're good at it, you'll have hatzlach. Shnema, we find in a pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech, who was looking for a coppersmith. Who did he hire? A fellow who was a coppersmith from way back. Shnema, Yishlach HaMelech Shlomo Yikachas Chiram. Chiram came from the place called Tzoyer, Mitzoyer. Ben Ish Almana, who Mimata Naftali, V'Aviv Ish Tzoyeri, Chorish Nechoshes, his father was a coppersmith. We learned Imein Beis Dan. So his mother was from the Shevet Dan, Uksiv, and we find that Dan is synonymous with craftsmanship, with the coppersmiths. Uksiv Ita Eliyah Ben Achisam Hatei Dan. Right, so back in the Midbar, the people from Dan were involved in making the Kelim of the Mishkan. So this fellow picked up on that trade. And he had atzlach, and Shlomo Melech decided to, you know, prefer him because it was in his blood and his genes. So a person should stick to his family business. Now, an interesting question: at heichon tachlus yisurin, what's the smallest annoyance, lowest level of inconvenience and hardship that still qualifies? It's still classified as yisurin, which has immense benefit. You know, Ramesh Chaim Lutzata writes that there are two purposes for yisurim, for hardships that befall a person, chas v'shalom. One is for kapara, to atone for all kinds of, you know, minor deviances that we're all guilty of. Number two, to arouse a person to do teshuvah, to wake him up, to get his mind back on track, his mind on the his eye on the prize, right? So even a small minor annoyance qualifies and has that same benefit. So what's the least, what's the lowest level that can still be counted in? Here's an example of something which is relatively minor and will still credit him with Yisurim. They fashioned for him, they wove for him a new suit. It doesn't really fit him well. It's pretty distressing, but it's relatively minor, and that still qualifies as Yisurim. He gets credited for Yisurim. Maskev LaRava, zero. He had a question. Ritema, some say, Rishmo Bar Nachmeni. You don't have to go that far, even less than that. Gedoy L'mizu Amru. Even a bigger now, a bigger chiddush, meaning even a smaller annoyance, can still qualify. Afilu Neskavnu L'mizoy Becham. So they would dilute their wine, it was very concentrated, with either hot or cold. And he was trying to get a hot drink. He was served cold. Pretty annoying. Or just the opposite. Bitsoinin is meant to have cold. They serve him hot. But Amaskuli Hais, even that's considered Yisurim. You don't have to come onto this misfitting garment, which is relatively, you know, more serious than just, you know, a temperature issue with your drink. So even a temperature issue with your drink is considered Yisurim. Marbre Ravina Amar. I'll give you another example. He's wearing, he's putting on his jacket and it's flipped inside out. He's got to take it off, put it on. That's also considered Yisurim. Rava, and some say Vitema Rav Yitzchak, Rav Chizda Vitema, some say Rav Yitzchak, like Amrila, some say Masisa Tana was in a Braisa. Afilu Hoshad Yadir Lakias. Here's an example of Yisurim, which is relatively minor. He stuck his hand in his pocket for some change. He tells Shalish to pull out three quarters. And he shows up with two. And he's got to stick his back in again, hand back in again to get a third one. That also qualifies as Yisurim. And it detracts from his averis and from his, you know, from his record. And Dafka Shalish, but specifically this type of situation where he's reaching for three, he ended up with two, and he has to stick his hand back in again. That's a true inconvenience, true tirch. But suppose he was aiming for two coins, he ended up with three. No, that doesn't qualify as Yisurim. That's too minor. It's like a tirch. It's not very effort consuming to stick, throw the coin back in there, so that's not considered Yisurim. You know, there's a famous exchange, a discussion between Yisrael Salanter and some sort of noblewoman, some sort of queen in his days. So she was relating to him how, you know, she was using her wealth to prepare for her kids and, you know, to prepare them for life, pamper them and give them all their conveniences, everything they ever need and should think of and should want. And she's going to protect her kid from all types of issues out there. Okay, he's going to be insulated, protected, well taken care of, pampered to the T. So Rasul Salanta says to her, okay, it sounds good, but I have a question. So the temperature is good, no animals, no robbers, all protected, all everything is on a silver platter. What happens? He sticks his hand in his pocket to retrieve two coins. And he comes up with three, or he puts into his hand the wrong pocket. He thought it was here and it was really there. How are you going to protect him from those annoyances of life? Meaning it's inevitable. Whatever you do, you can build the beautiful, most beautiful palace, temperature controlled, food at the ready, but you can't escape life's inevitable inconveniences. You have to train him for that, fortify him, provide him with training so that he acquires coping capabilities, because inevitably he's going to run into issues. He's going to run into difficulties and challenges, and he's going to have the tools to overcome. The Kokach Lama, says the Gemara, why is it so important to discuss? What are we discussing? The definition of Yisurim, what's the message here? The Tanya, the Rabbi Shmuel, Kol She'avro Alav Arba Yamim. Very important to have some measure of Yisurim. Chas V'Shalom, not difficult ones, but minor annoyances are good, are beneficial. They help you grow. In fact, a person, Kol She'avro Alav Arba Yamim, a person who lives 40 days below Yisurim without any of these inconveniences, Kibbal Alamay. That's it. He got his eternal reward in this world. It's over. Rashi says three lines on the bottom. Kibbul Alamay, Kol Menuchas Elasit. His eternal reward is given to him. Because why is he living such a wonderful life without any? I mean, the fact is he certainly has some sort of account. It's impossible to be a perfect tzaddik. So why is everything so smooth and dandy? Apparently they're feeding him. They're giving him his schar in this world. The overly chad mahanach, says Rashi, but if he had one of these episodes, three coins, two coins, hari yisur qualifies as yisurim. In which case, his sechar, his reward, is still reserved for the future. B'mar Rav Amri, it's just all that a different twist on this fellow who didn't have any issues within 40 days. Pur onus mizdamen azloy. Inevitably, he's slated for more difficult hardship because. Hashem does a tremendous, it's very big taiva to a person that Hashem distributes the einish, throughout all these minor nicks and bloopers, so that ultimately it accumulates and detracts from his averus and purifies him and gives him, puts him on the right track. But otherwise, inevitably he's going to encounter some sort of chas v'shalom, even more difficult situation. So it's actually good for us that we have these. Minor inconveniences, annoyances, which come instead of chas v'shalom, serious peronis. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We discussed, definitions of lashon hara. So sometimes you have this sort of gray area, which is really dependent on a person's tone of voice and agenda and. At times can be lashon hara, at times not. It all depends. The litmus test is, would you say it in front of that person? Would you say it in public, right? Which would get back to that person. We spoke about not overdoing it even positively because it can generate negativity. We spoke about the einish lashon hara, ahanumas of created machlekes, and boom, he's out of town, taras, sits on his own to figure himself out. Otherwise, we have the tourists and the tzitz, which as well can have an atoning effect on lashon hara activity. We spoke about refraining from sin of alev. We spoke about the mitzvah of teichacha, provided just done rightly and done properly, without embarrassing, without insulting the person. We spoke about the value of anova, even shalei lishma. We spoke about the commitment to teichacha, even at great personal expense, as well as keeping to the same schedule, the same hotel, the same host, to maintain everybody's good reputation. We spoke about staying in the family business and the value of minor yisurim. Okay, she'll have tzlacha, always bracha. Bis dann, dann 20. All the best, wenn es noch reicht.